by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it. Grass may dab in the middle. We are grass may dab.
Secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Got a lot going on this week. We've got this immigration problem that's building up on the border, and the Biden administration has put a gag order on, you could say news reporters accessing those sites where they're holding these children. They're coming across by the thousands now. So this is just a really, really big problem. We're starting off with Francis A. Boyle, interviewed by Alex Jones, and they're talking about this bioweapons that was created between University of North Carolina and the Wuhan Level 4 lab in Wuhan, China. And he says some very, very insightful things. Then we're going to move on to some other issues. There was a meeting up in Anchorage between the Chinese foreign relations emissaries and our Secretary of State, Blinken. And we're going to move on to that and then get back to some other immigration type of information. And then ended up with President Trump says, hey, it's safe to take that vaccine now. And then Joy Behar is saying, no, there's no such thing as Antifa. Here we go first with Francis A. Boyle. Here we go now.
Well, actually, it goes back to what I said before, that we are seeing a Nazi mentality at work here. You see it in today's New York Times where they're going to be testing these Frankenshots out on children. It's reminiscent of what Dr. Mengele did at Auschwitz with the children there and his experiments there. It's directly on point. What more can I say? The Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation requires animal experimentation first. They are not doing that. They are experimenting on human beings first. Well, that's what we have to understand here. They are treating us and now children and now pregnant women as their guinea pigs. It's that simple. And yes, violation of the Nuremberg Code on medical experimentation is a violation of international criminal law today as we speak. And again, I drafted this notice for common, ordinary, everyday people to use. I'm happy to work. When you get a lawyer, I'm happy to consult with your lawyer. And it's been drafted in a way that can be used all over the world. Anyone who wants to use it can use it for that reason. But I explained that.
Sir, my question is, why are they going for broke now? You're absolutely right. You predicted it all. Well, tell us what comes next then. These people are insane.
Well, you could say the Nazis were insane, but, to get that PhD at Harvard, I had to study all about Nazi Germany. And, these are, human beings. They were evil. And that's pretty much what we are dealing with today. The COVID, we have to understand right at the beginning, if you read anything at all about this going on in the news media, no one will admit that what we are dealing with here is an existentially dangerous, offensive, biological warfare agent that has been DNA genetically engineered to have gain-of-function properties, making it more lethal, more infectious. It has HIV DNA genetically engineered into that, and it has been aerosolized by means of nanotechnology And that all came out of the Wuhan BSL-4 in cooperation with the University of North Carolina BSL-3. And no one admits that. No one wants to deal with that. No one has come to grips with that. Now they're coming up with this cover story. Oh, well, it might have been vaccines that they were trying to make there in the Wuhan BSL-4. That's baloney. The Wuhan BSL-4 is China's Fort Detrick. It's that simple. That's why they made it. They figured the Americans have a Fort Detrick, so fine, we're going to have a Fort Detrick. So that's what they do at these labs, is research, development, test, hideous, every type of hideous Nazi biological warfare weapon you can possibly
imagine. Sure, well, you've been dead on for the 20 years I've been interviewing you, probably about 19 to 20 years. But how the hell did you guess all this exactly as it unfolded? I guess just deep research, I guess that's what you do.
That's correct, Alice. In 1983, the Council for Genetics was founded in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it was a lot of friends of mine from Harvard and MIT, some of the and other biologists and some of the top biologists in the world and the most ethical. And they asked me to get involved in their anti-biological warfare work. So that's how long I've been dealing with these issues. And that is how long I've been opposing these Nazi death scientists like Fauci. Fauci was put in there right around 1984, 1985 by the Reagan administration under the influence of their neoconservatives who support offensive biological warfare weapons.
So he really is the prime mover from what I've seen day one, right around the time you got up to speed on this. He is inserted by these people, and it seems like he just appears everywhere that the bad stuff is happening.
He's their front man and their organizer, right. Reagan and the neocons put him in charge of this because the neocons are in favor of biological warfare. And at the beginning of the Reagan administration, under the influence of the neoconservatives, I'm not saying, you know, President Reagan really knew what was going on, okay, but under the influence of the neoconservatives.
That's true. The horrible thing Reagan did was giving liability protection. Let's just, yeah, it was a horrible thing.
Right, but under the influence of the neoconservatives, they began to abuse DNA genetic engineering to research, develop, and manufacture and stockpile biological weapons. And that's what I got involved in. Just maybe
and you explained their cover for bioweapons to get around the treaties is they call it a treatment, but then they have to engineer every possible thing under the sun. So they're actually making bioweapons in the name of finding treatments for things that didn't exist till they made them.
That's correct. And that's what a lot of this emerging infectious diseases is all about. If you read about, well, someone's an expert on emerging infectious diseases, right? They've emerged out of that person's biological warfare weapons lab, right? That's probably what
well, that's happened. The classic thing. They produce it, and they become the hero that fights it.
That's correct. And they also make money off of it, too. And look at the enormous sums of money at stake here with pharma and Fauci. Fauci's got patents on all these biowarfare agents
that help
them up there. Right.
Well, absolutely. Right. How can he be the spokesman globally for all this or Bill Gates when they're heavily invested in all of it? This is literally them having controlled bioweapon releases that then they get rich and get all the power off of.
Coming up next is Gordon Chang. And in his interview, he tells us some very insightful things about China. And they've got an overall plan. He reiterates that. But anyway, listen to this Gordon Chang interview. Here we go next.
China uses every point of contact with the United States to undermine our society, overthrow our government. And right now, we're being overwhelmed.
U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has said the United States will work with allies to hold the Chinese regime accountable. But at the same time, the Biden administration seeks to cooperate with Chinese leadership in areas like the pandemic and climate change.
We have seen in those executive orders a flood of measures that Beijing just absolutely loves. How can we cooperate with a government that means to overthrow us?
In this episode, we sit down with China analyst Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China. This is American Thought Leaders, and I'm Yanya Kelek. And as you may know, YouTube has demonetized our channel. If you haven't already, please make sure you sign up for our mailing list in the description below so you'll never miss an episode. Gordon Chang, such a pleasure to have you back on American Thought Leaders.
Thank you so much, Jan.
Gordon, it's been a little bit of time since we spoke last. We are into a new U.S. administration, the Biden administration, which is, in fact, has been talking about holding China accountable. It has also been talking about cooperating with China on a number of issues. And from what I know, you have some concerns about the concept of cooperating with the Chinese Communist Party. Tell me what you're thinking.
First of all, the Chinese Communist Party is working to overthrow the government of the United States. It did that last year, inciting violence on American streets. It did that this year in connection with January 6th riots. So I have to question, how can we cooperate with a government that means to overthrow us? It just doesn't seem to make sense. And the Communist Party has been very clear. They say that if you don't cooperate with us on everything, we're not going to cooperate on anything. The Biden administration says, well, you know, there are issues like climate change, pandemics that we can work with China on, and we can compete in other areas. And Beijing has made it very clear in a number of instances over the last 2.5 weeks or so that, no, that's not the case, that it's either all or nothing. And to me, it means nothing.
Well, so how is it possible even to discuss this sort of cooperation in your mind, or what is the way to actually elicit any semblance of that?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is to deter China, because Xi Jinping has been talking with increasing frequency about war, that China has got to be ready with war at any second, he said. We know the Chinese troops are deep into Indian-controlled territory, in not only in Ladakh, but in Sikkim. There are these increasingly provocative incursions into Taiwan's air defense identification zone, into Japan's territorial waters around the islands in the East China Sea that the Japanese call the Senkakus and the Chinese call the Diaoyus. On January 23, Chinese nuclear-capable H-6K bombers practice a run against the Theodore Roosevelt carrier strike group in the South China Sea. And that was indeed provocative and belligerent behavior. So the most important thing for us is not to talk cooperation, because when we do that, we, I think, embolden Xi Jinping to take even more hostile measures. So we just need to deter him. We deter him, maybe there's some sort of accommodation we can work out with China. I actually don't think so for a number of reasons, but the point is the first issue has got to be deterrence.
Well, so this is an interesting question. I know, like, a top priority, as we know, for the Biden administration is climate change, right? And addressing climate change. And as far as I can tell, this is kind of a huge bargaining chip from the perspective of the Chinese Communist Party. I'm wondering if you could, you know, comment on that.
The Biden team talks about an enhanced climate deal. And John Kerry has been reportedly thinking that climate is such a catastrophic issue that it overrides everything else. Now, in later comments, he says, no, we're not going to bargain away national security. But the question is, you know, the Chinese are on the same planet that we are. So they've got the same interest in preventing climate change to the extent that it's occurring. So we don't need to give them anything for it. But, you know, to the extent that we think climate is an overriding issue, well, we should stop buying stuff from China, because ocean transport is one of the most polluting activities on Earth. There are these reports that 15 of the largest container ships pollute as much as all the world's cars. So my answer is, if you think climate change is that important, stop buying products from China and start manufacturing in the United States, because that way we'll do a lot for the climate. In addition to having, of course, some other very critical knock-on benefits for us. But the point is, if it's climate, yeah, we'll make our stuff here. By the way, Jan, my favorite ad from the Super Bowl was from a company, WeatherTech, and their message was, look, we don't have to bring back production from overseas because we've never left. I thought that was a great message. Now, this is not an endorsement of their products, but it is endorsement of manufacturing in the United States.
So, Gordon, one of the headlines from today that I've been seeing is that the group that was invited by the Chinese Communist Party to investigate the origins of coronavirus, or CCP virus, as we here at the Epoch Times call it, they're basically saying it's unlikely to have leaked from the Wuhan lab, and they're basically dropping that angle of the investigation, despite the fact that the U.S. intelligence community sees that as probably the most likely scenario.
Yes, this is just shows you why we should not be rejoining the World Health Organization. This mission to Wuhan was heavily negotiated with conditions that was really essentially designed so they're not going to find out anything. So they're there for a month, 2 weeks of which are quarantined. And they go to the Wuhan Institute of Virology for 3.5 hours. And they're making these pronouncements. This is intensely political. This is after China sent its top biological weapons expert, General Chen Wei, to head the P4 biosafety unit at the Wuhan Institute. That was end of January of last year. And I'm sure she was there to clean up the facility, to make sure that there was no evidence of a lab leak, no evidence of a biological weapons program. So I don't know how WHO members can say that after such a cursory examination. This really is intensely political. And we can see this from something else, John. For instance, the WHO said it was a likely source of transmission of coronavirus was the pathogen on frozen food packaging. Now, experts will tell you that, yes, the coronavirus can survive on frozen food packaging, but nobody in any responsible position outside China thinks that it was a likely source of transmission. This is a parroting of a Beijing narrative. There is really no evidence for this at all, to say that it's a likely source of transmission. And this just shows you that the WHO mission is completely worthless. Actually, it's worse than worthless because it's throwing people off the trail.
Gordon Chang is saying that to deal with China, I'll just reiterate something, what he was saying. First, we must have a deterrence against China. We must establish that. And next comes climate change, which they are not abiding by, and we can't give in on that. And the third thing is the Wuhan lab, the World Health Organization, is controlled by China. And we just got to reiterate that this escape of this virus came out of the Wuhan lab, Level 4 in Wuhan, China. We just can't give up on that. So anyway, an additional man followed, you know, about China and his insights is Stephen Mosier, who wrote a book, Bully in Asia. And he has some very important things to say about China. Here we go with Stephen Mosier.
When we object to Uyghur internment camps, they say this.
The challenges facing the United States in human rights are deep-seated. They did not just emerge over the past 4 years, such as Black Lives Matter. It did not come up only recently. The United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
Joining me now is Stephen Mosier, author of The Bully of Asia. Stephen, how is China capitalizing on this systemic racism narrative and the coverage of this horrible shooting in Atlanta?
Well, they're using it to cover up their own crimes, obviously. They've got genocide underway in Western China, in the Uyghur area. They've got a similar program underway in Tibet. They're going to extinguish the Tibetan culture in a generation or two. Christians, Catholics, others are being persecuted in China. But how beneficial is it to them to point a finger at the United States of America and say, you're not a beacon of freedom and human rights. You have problems that are even worse than ours because you suffer from supposedly systemic racism and the murder of black people in history. And the list goes on and on. You know, they harangued our new Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. For 16 minutes, they were supposed to speak for 2 minutes. They went on for 16 minutes blasting him. And all he could do on his back foot when he responded was say, yes, we have problems. Yes, we're challenged. You know, I'm so tired of these apology tours. I thought that we were done with apology tours when the Biden Obama administration ended a few years ago, and now we have another apology tour on our own soil. Mm. How bad is it to be humiliated on our own soil?
Terrible. Stephen, China is also openly declaring the end of American and Western values. Listen to this moment.
The United States itself does not represent international public opinion. Whether judged by population scale or the trend of the Western world does not represent the global public opinion.
Stephen, would China have had the courage to engage in that kind of brazen insult if a member of the Trump administration were sitting across the table?
No, in fact, we know they didn't. 2 years ago when Mike Pompeo met with these same characters, they were very deferential. They were very pleasant. They were trying to comply with our request to stop cheating on trade, for example, and agreed to stop the theft of cyber theft of information. They wanted to go along to get along. The attitude shift here is just astonishing. Now, we've seen this over the last couple of years vis-a-vis smaller countries like Thailand and South Korea and Australia.
Some big ones, Steve. Yeah. I mean, Putin is now challenging Biden to a debate. And I just got to get your reaction to this before we run out of time. It seems like this one, the president boarding Air Force One today, that create the impression that he's not quite up to the task of leading the country. Now, look, someone told me maybe Biden was just being devout today. He fell three times. It is a Friday, but I rather doubt it. Steve, how does Xi and the CCP absorb moments like this and performances like Blinken's?
Well, they see weakness. And, you know, the meeting in Alaska was supposed to set up a summit between Xi Jinping and Joe Biden. I hope that we do not allow our president, our aging president, in the same room with Xi Jinping because China will eat our lunch.
He really has some insights to tell us what's really going on in China. The Stephen Mosher and both Gordon Chang have been very, very good witnesses to what's going on in China. Coming up next is Tucker Carlson, and Bajol, he not only gives us a report on the meeting held up in Alaska, but he offs a concept called Bajol, B-A-I-Z-O-U, and what it means is that the white liberals in our society and how they do judgment and hypocritical types of stances. Anyway, it's quite insightful. Here we go with Tucker explaining what Bajol is and also describing the meeting up in Alaska with the Chinese and how we came out really way behind as apologists. Here we go next with Tucker.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Happy Friday. We spent an awful lot of time on the show talking about China, its intentions, its crimes, its treatment of dogs. We've got pretty clear views on the Chinese government. Polls show that most Americans do. But here's a question we rarely ask. What do the Chinese think of us? Most of the time, we have no real idea. China's on the other side of the world, and its leaders are cagey enough to keep their opinions to themselves most of the time. But occasionally, we get a glimpse of what they really think. We did this week, when our new Secretary of State flew to Alaska to meet with his counterpart, China's top diplomat, Yang Jiezhou. It was a fascinating exchange. Here, for starters, is the Chinese government's assessment of our democracy.
Many people within the United States actually have little confidence in the democracy of the United States, and they have various views regarding the government of the United States.
So many Americans don't have confidence in their own democracy, he said. In other words, maybe the last presidential election was fraudulent. Well, suddenly, China's top diplomat sounds a lot like one of those right-wing white supremacist insurrectionists you're always hearing about on CNN, the ones the Biden DOJ has put in prison. But he wasn't done. Next, he attacked the Biden administration for its silly neocon foreign policy.
We do not believe in invading through the use of force or to topple other regimes through various means or to massacre the people of other countries because all of those would only cause turmoil and instability in this world. It is important for the United States to change its own image and to stop advancing its own democracy in the rest of the world.
Ouch. That's not the traditional language of diplomacy, elaborately polite and obliquely indirect. That's talk radio. The Chinese government has utter contempt for the Biden administration and doesn't feel like hiding it anymore. Tony Blinken, who's supposed to be our Secretary of State, clearly had no idea what to say in response to it. Blinken is not a natural statesman. What Tony Blinken really wanted to be was a pop star. Our Secretary of State. It all brings you back to 1997 when the Hanson brothers were America's reigning boy band. Mbop. That could have been Tony Blinken. But it wasn't. Instead, Tony Blinken learned to memorize political slogans, and over time, the Democratic Party gave him the State Department as a reward. But when it came time for a showdown with one of the leaders of the Communist Party of China, all Tony Blinken could muster was this.
I have to tell you, what I'm hearing is very different from what you described. I'm hearing deep satisfaction that the United States is back.
I have to tell you, what I'm hearing is very different. I'm hearing deep satisfaction that the United States is back, just from the bumper sticker. Really, you're hearing that? From whom? But Tony Blinken couldn't say, nor could he manage to press any point that might conceivably benefit our country, the United States. For example, where did COVID come from? We still don't know. The Chinese government likely does know, but they're not telling. Scientists would like to know because they'd like to prevent future global pandemics. So we ought to find out. But Tony Blinken didn't dare mention any of this. Notice its conspicuous absence in his list of concerns.
We'll also discuss our deep concerns with actions by China, including in Xinjiang, Hong Kong, Taiwan, cyber attacks on the United States, economic coercion toward our allies.
Yeah, what didn't he say? Listening to the Secretary of State right there, that was the preface to his remarks, you would never know that the Chinese government is still, to this day, stonewalling international efforts to find the origin of the coronavirus. Even officials at the World Health Organization, which they pay for, have complained about it, privately, of course. China has consistently lied about COVID-19 for more than a year. The Chinese government delayed the release of genetic information about the virus that could have helped scientists understand it and fight it and save lives. This is a crime of enormous proportions. It affects the entire world. It endangers all of us. And yet the Biden administration, totally paralyzed by identity politics, has said nothing. And in fact, at times, the administration has abetted the cover-up of the origins of COVID-19. As one of his first acts as President of the United States, Joe Biden signed an executive order telling federal agencies to stop making references to the pandemic by the, quote, geographic location of its origin. So as a matter of official U.S. policy, no more linking a Chinese virus to China. No more talk about where it came from. None of that lab theory. That's now the official position of the Democratic Party. Why, you have to ask? Just yesterday, Congressman Jerry Nadler of New York announced that when you criticize the Communist Party of China, people in the U.S. die of hate crimes. Watch.
This surge did not spontaneously rise only out of fears regarding the coronavirus pandemic. Some of this blame lies squarely on political leaders who have demonized China, both because of the virus and ongoing geopolitical tensions.
It's always about words. That's what they want to control. So here you have a sitting member of Congress flacking for China, our most dangerous rival. Now, you'd think the Chinese would appreciate this. It makes their job easier, but they don't appreciate it. In fact, it just increases their contempt for our leaders. Our leaders are weak, and so the Chinese press their advantage. Here's Young exploiting identity politics to subdue our diplomats in Alaska.
There are many problems within the United States regarding human rights, and the challenges facing the United States in human rights are deep-seated. They did not just emerge over the past 4 years, such as Black Lives Matter. It did not come up only recently.
So there you have the Chinese government using Black Lives Matter as a weapon against the United States. You have the Chinese lecturing us about human rights. You never thought you'd see the day that happened. But the amazing thing is, in 2021, it works. That's why they do it. The Chinese know our leaders very well. In fact, they have a name for our self-hating professional class. They call them Baisaw. The rough translation from the Mandarin is white liberal, and it is definitely not a compliment. Here's how Chinese state media describe Baisaw. Quote, there are people who only care about topics such as immigration, minorities, LGBT, and the environment, who have no sense of real problems in the real world, who only advocate for peace and equality to satisfy their own feelings of moral superiority, and who are so obsessed with political correctness that they tolerate backward Islamic values for the sake of multiculturalism. As Chinese state media notes, quote, former U.S. President Obama was considered an advocate of Baisaw ideology. So was German Chancellor Angela Merkel in her decision to welcome more than 1 million third world immigrants to Europe, end quote. Other observations about Baisaw, as reported by Chinese state media, include the fact that they, quote, advocate inclusiveness and anti-discrimination, but cannot tolerate different opinions. Baisaw's political opinions are, quote, so shallow that they tend to maintain social equality by embracing ideologies that run against the basic concept of equality. Amazing. According to one scholar from Peking University, Baisaw are phony and hypocritical and will make the situation in the West go from bad to worse, and so on. Talk about insightful. They know our leaders well. According to Wikipedia, many Chinese internet users used the term Baisaw, and we're quoting, to criticize the Democratic Party's emphasis on affirmative action policies, which are perceived as discriminating against Asians, end quote.
The Chinese have this pretty well thought out about what's going on in this country, and they're only actually, you know, adding fuel to the fire on these disturbances and these civil disorders that have been going on. And, you know, Antifa is real, and it is happening out there. And, oh, if I bring up Antifa, I want to play something, Bongino. He was interviewed recently, and here's what he had to say, I believe on Hannity, about, Antifa being real, you know, and Joy Behar said that it wasn't real or something like that. Well, anyway, we're going to play that next, and then we'll follow that up with, ex-President Trump says about taking that vaccine, which I don't really agree with what he was saying. But anyway, we'll follow up this clip that Dan Bongino did talking about Joe Behar. She says that that's just a lie. Antifa doesn't even exist. So here we go next with Dan Bongino.
That we normally just try to ignore the show's antics, but today Joyless Behar said something so outrageous, well, we'll share it with you. She said, Antifa is just a, quote, fictitious idea, a thing that doesn't even exist. Really, Joy? Antifa isn't real? Then what's on the screen right now over there? Is that not real? Do you really think Antifa had nothing to do with the 100 straight days of riots in Portland last summer? All right, joining us now with a special investigation into whether Antifa is real, Fox News contributor, former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino. All right, Dan, is it fictitious or is it real?
Well, Sean, you know, fictitious entities don't put people in body bags. And that's what happened in Oregon when a Patriot Prayer member was killed by a member of Antifa. The Joy Behar doesn't know that. Joy Behar's frankly kind of dumb, so she probably doesn't read the newspaper, but she may want to read that obituary of that man who was killed by the fictitious entity who killed him, a known Antifa supporter. Also, Sean, one other thing, from personal experience, having walked out of the White House the night Trump accepted the GOP nod into a crowd of Antifa and BLM, one of whom threatened to rape my wife while I watched. Yes, that actually happened, by the way. I assure you that was not a fiction novel. That actually happened. My wife was there. Multiple people saw it. And I actually got it on tape. And I promise you, those weren't actors. Those weren't role players. Those were actual Antifa people following me and my wife back to the hotel, threatening all kinds of nasty things. So no, it is not a fictitious entity. Joy Behar's triple digit IQ is an act of fiction, not Antifa.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty obvious. I don't know why it's so hard for some people. Okay, radicalism is radicalism, right? If you have organizers in Black Lives Matter chanting, what do we want, dead cops? When do we want them now? And pigs in a blanket. Okay, very different, separate. We distinguish between those that were protesting, many peacefully after the George Floyd incident. When you can't just, why can't we just acknowledge people that are involved in riot? Why is that so hard for people? Like what happened on January 6th? We can't have our Capitol raided like that?
No, it's not. You just did it. It's not hard for you and me. And there's a reason. I've said it on this show multiple times. Conservatives, Sean, have an emergency brake on their behavior. That emergency brake is faith, family, and big R God-given rights. We believe liberals have those too. I know this is a shocker to liberals, but we don't want to take your freedom of speech. We certainly don't want to attack you for it, and we don't want to prevent you from assembling or petitioning the government, because we believe you have big R God-given rights. Listen to me and listen clear. Liberals have no such emergency brake. Not all Democrats. Radical leftists are obsessed with power and violence and have no emergency brake on their behavior at all. They don't give a damn about God-given rights at all. And that's why this isn't difficult for you and me.
Facilitates it by denying what is basic reality. Let's stick with Joyless Behar. Listen to what she had to say about the Cuomo issue.
What worries me is that if he resigns and, you know, fast forward down the line, a Republican becomes the governor of New York State, a lot of things will happen that I won't be happy with. I don't want some Republican coming in there and overturning some of these policies and then exonerating or pardoning Trump, who is going to be indicted in New York State.
So let me get this straight. Seven women can come forward. The I Believe a Caucus is quiet. Let's keep Cuomo in office because we hate Donald Trump that much. We have less than a minute.
Did you listen to the – I know you get to see these cuts before. Did you just listen to what you just said? Is that even sane?
No.
Seriously, is that even like of this earth? Is this woman even of planet Earth? Like, is she thinking – do you realize what she just said?
Is
she
that doesn't a real care or what rhetorical happened to these question? Women.
I know. It's just, Sean, it's painful to watch every single night. These people have no principles. These are the same Democrats who tell you they want to hike your taxes when they park their boats in Rhode Island rather than Massachusetts to avoid paying the tax bill like John Kerry. They're the same people who swear government health care is a panacea and then argue to get Obamacare not applied to them while they're in Congress.
All right.
They're nothing but frauds.
Dan Bongino, great to have you, as always.
You talk about this Joy Behar. You know, you talk about disinformation, misinformation, and then Trump, former President Trump, kept talking about fake news. And that's what people with those opinions like her are putting out, especially when they make pronouncements. Nadler was also bad about this. He said that it was a myth, that Antifa was a myth. Now Joy Behar said it doesn't even exist. And people have gotten threatened, and all kinds of violence has been credited to them, especially in Portland. And they're real, okay. And when she makes statements like that, I mean, it discredits her capabilities and her sense of reality is what it does. But I mean, okay, now we're getting up to former President Trump. Now we're going to play our next clip with him giving us advice to take the vaccine. Let me tell you what happened, is that Trump was not that insightful about the science of vaccines and medical practice in the past, and he didn't catch on to this mRNA being a problem and continuing to be a problem, and in the future, it could really cause damage. So when he heavily invested in those companies to develop these kinds of so-called vaccines, which it's more genetic therapy type of substances disguised as vaccines, then he didn't really understand what he was doing. And now he can't back away from that and say it for what it really is, and then he's recommending it. And this is a big mistake. 6 months to a year from now, there's going to be all kinds of people pointing fingers at each other for the development of these so-called vaccines that I believe is going to do very harmful to the American public. And, Dr. Tenpenny has expressed the same opinions about it being very, very dangerous, these things, especially these mRNA so-called vaccines. So here we go with Trump giving us advice to take it.
So when you go to the COVID issue, we did a great job. We get very little credit for it. I closed the country far earlier. Dr. Fauci and Birx and all of these people that frankly made nothing but mistakes. They didn't want to do it. They didn't want to close it to China. I closed the border to China. I closed the border to Europe, Italy, and all these countries that were having tremendous problems long before they wanted me to do it. And if you look at Biden, he didn't want to do it months afterwards. And then ultimately he admitted that he made a mistake in saying that. If I didn't do that, we would have had hundreds of thousands of more lives gone. But the big thing is I've always felt it was the most important is the vaccine. The key was always going to be the vaccine. And when Biden got the vaccine in December, and on January 20th, he made a statement that he doesn't think we have vaccines. Now, I don't know, did he make that statement as a statement or did he not actually know we had the vaccine? What's going on there? But he got his shot. He got his first shot in December, December 21st, I believe. So with the vaccines and with the job we've done with COVID, I inherited an empty cupboard. Biden failed very badly with the H1N1, he had a chance to do something, and they had a tremendous, tremendous failure, H1N1. It was a disaster. And now he's taking over this. What he's taken over, warp speed, we had it, our military, what they've done in terms of delivery has been incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
And we gave up to 1.3 million shots a day before he even took over. So not only did we have the vaccine, and one thing we did, we took a big bet on this. We started manufacturing the vaccine before we really knew it worked. We saved many, many months and millions of lives by doing that, because you wouldn't have the vaccine right now if we didn't take that chance. We knew what we were doing. We knew that we felt strongly it was going to work. And we took a risk, and the risk was spending billions of dollars to develop it before we knew and before we had the approval that it was going to work. It works incredibly well, 95%, maybe even more than that. It works incredibly well, and it's really saving our country, and it's saving, frankly, the world.
So, Mr. President, I know that you received the vaccine. Mrs. Trump also got the vaccine. Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, we have our freedoms, and we have to live by that, and I agree with that also. But it's a great vaccine, it's a safe vaccine, and it's something that works. And we've been working round the clock, and what I got the FDA to do, this would have happened in many, many years from now, if we didn't get involved.
What I think they did was they tricked Trump when he was president into funding and developing the wrong thing. They developed their gene therapy type of system for they could use for the eugenics program. He didn't catch it, and now he bought into it initially. And it's out there being given to millions of people. It's going to be very harmful. People are already dying from these vaccines. So this is going to blow up on him and Biden and everybody else that's pushing this stuff. And if I was an employer, I certainly wouldn't demand my employees get the shot. And I wouldn't be giving advice at all to employees about whether or not to take this vaccine. And I'm banking on Tenpenny and people like that have been at this and that are doctors. She's a doctor of osteopath out of Kirksville, Missouri. And these are the people that I listen to and believe in. Anyway, coming up next is Matt Bracken, and we're going to play as much of his program. He Thursday with the fourth hour on InfoWars, and he really got some insightful things about how they're running up perhaps organized crime figures that are involved with these cartels into America. And so, anyway, this is very, very exciting. We'll play as much as we can, but we'll give a click off in there. You can listen to on band video his whole, you could say, program that aired on Thursday live, and then pick it up as a demand from InfoWars. But here we go now with Matt Bracken.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to stay right at the border for the moment, and it's part of the theme of my entire show today. You know, I'm going to be showing some of the Benny Thomas Project Veritas Facebook video, you know, where he talks about, when these transformed humans, these AI humans, are just going to look down at us like ants. And he says, when I go to a picnic, I don't worry about how many ants I step on, right? And when these, transformed humans become fully singularized, transformed, they're going to look at us like ants. So I think they already do look at us like ants. They just look at the globe and they say, let's move millions from Guatemala or anywhere to America. And the hell with Americans. They're just the red ants, the black ants, the yellow ants, you know, the soldier ants. We just move an ants around. And you know, if you move an ants around, you don't really give a damn if, sometimes you step on a bunch of them, or sometimes the fire ant poison kills the wrong kind
of
ants.
That's right. It's called playing God. They're playing God.
Benny Thomas talks about when this AI happens, when its chips are planted in everybody's brain, or excuse me, the elite's brains. But I think at the Bill Gates level, they already consider themselves there. Bill Gates doesn't need a chip in his brain because he is surrounded by screens and supercomputers, right? He has all that information. Benny Thomas later in that video talks about when these super elite transformed singularity humans have the chips, they are going to be like a new species because they will have not only the ability to have like the entire Library of Congress in their head, instant access, everything, but they'll be able to crunch all that information like a Superman, like a god. Well, I think that Bill Gates already considers himself in that status. And we are just ants to these people. And they may even go to bed at night thinking, well, we're really doing a lot of good because we're helping more ants than we're destroying. And it's all for the betterment of humanity that we're, you know, taking our rake and just raking the ants from here and smashing the ants over there. But we singularized transformed humans, we know what's best. We are God. And I think
they are essential. They are ascended. We are not.
And they are already there. When you know, and I think that Benny Thomas, anybody that hasn't seen that Project Veritas, watch it 10 times. This is a guy who listens to the inner circle. This is like getting one of Hitler's cabinet, one of his, you know, war staff, to say what his really Hitler is thinking about. And so what Benny Thomas says in that Project Veritas video should be ingrained in your brain. This is how they comprehend us. We are ants. They are the superhumans, and we are the ants. And we've got to accept that and prepare for what's coming. Whew. Anyway, and this is going to be the theme of the day, and I'm very calm. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
AI is essentially evolving to become like human intelligence, and then it's going to go beyond human intelligence. And at that point, humans are expendable. You know, the way we treat everything else in the world, like we think we're the best, like the superior most species. So, like, if you and I went to a picnic, we would not spend 1 minute thinking about the ants that you stepped on the grass, right? For AI, we will become like those ants. It's not like the AI will try to kill us. They just won't care because it'll be so superior that it'll be like, these people don't matter. So I might be killing hundreds of ants when I walk in the park. I don't know and I don't care.
All I can say is, wow. You know, Benny Thomas says like global leader for Facebook. So he's a big shot. He's somebody that's in the room at the table. You know, they say, Bannon is a saying, if you're not in the room, you're not in the deal. Okay. Benny Thomas is in the room. He's in the room at the high level. And we are so far beyond a constitutional republic where we vote for our leaders and it makes a damn. We are so far beyond that. People should watch that entire video. Not only does Benny Thomas talk about, you know, ordinary humans being seen as ants, which I believe they already believe. Benny Thomas is sort of confessing. He's saying in the future, but at the Jack Dorsey, at the level of Google, Alphabet, YouTube, Twitter, they are already there. Okay. They are in their own minds, in their own perceptions, they are already the superhumans. You know, Benny Thomas in that video, he's kind of, I guess he's trying to play, he's probably trying to get laid, frankly. Okay. This is why they often send in like younger, aspiring intern type female reporters, you know, that are trying to get a job while buttering some guy up. And the guy's thinking, if I say the right stuff, I'll wind up in my hotel with her. I mean, this is, let's be frank. This is what's going on. And little does he know, she's actually a freedom fighter. She is a freedom fighter like anybody you've ever seen in history. And he's saying that Facebook has to be broken up, that no king in history ever ruled 2 billion people. All right. And that Mark Zuckerberg already is that king. So yes. Mark Zuckerberg, who put something like $450 to $500 million into defeating Trump in the last election cycle by funneling money to just Democrat precincts and districts to get out the vote, you know, the paying for the drop boxes, paying overtime for all of these Democrat precinct officials, only in Democrat areas. He already considers himself a god. He considers himself way above obeying any like local national law. To Mark Zuckerberg, a U.S. law or a Belgian law or a Uganda law, that's just a little hassle. That's like avoiding a speed trap in some podunk town, you know, in Kansas or West Virginia. To Mark Zuckerberg, these are like literally the ants at the picnic, these laws. These are things that you just have to work around. He already is, I think, in his own perception, that AI transformed superhuman. So at this point, the United States, we have a government, but really our politicians, from Biden to McConnell to all of them, you know, with the exception of some freedom fighters, you know, the Matt Gaetzes and the DeSantises, they're trying. But they are such a tiny percentage, they really can't move the needle. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has so infiltrated our country, buying off universities, buying off corporations through deals where, you know, if we can't send our people to your corporation in America, where they'll essentially be spies, then you're not going to do business in China. Between big tech, if you make a conglomerate out of Google Alphabet, Facebook and Twitter, if you make that into a conglomerate, they have the other great power pole, along with Chairman Xi in Beijing. Those are the two real power players in the world. When we're looking at an American politician today, we're like a Brit in, say, the 1950s, coasting on past memories of the glories of Great Britain. But in reality, the Navy of World War II has been scrapped. It's a welfare state and it's broke. That's the United States right now. So the Brits in the 1950s thought, we're still a world power. We still have a Navy. You know, are we going to vote for Attlee or are we going to vote for Churchill or who, you know, but it didn't matter. The UK was done. The power had moved on to the United States of America in a battle with global communism at the time, the Soviet Union and the beginning of communist China. Now the power has moved on from the United States, totally moved on. Now the power is balanced between communist China and these tech giants. Our military at this point has, and it's obvious, it's become a joke. It's become a joke. It's been taken over, it's been infiltrated, and it's become just a woke shadow of itself. Yes, we still have aircraft carriers. However, the aircraft carriers of today are the equivalent of a battleship in 1940. Very impressive if you don't understand the next stage of warfare. Not impressive if you understand that dive bombers can take them out. So our aircraft carriers, which are very impressive, and when they sail, you know, through the South China Sea, it looks powerful, but today China can take them out if they're anywhere near China. Our aircraft carriers can't get close enough to Taiwan to defend Taiwan without them being destroyed by Chinese missiles. And I'll talk about this some more, but when you think about the missile wars of, say, 30 years ago, Desert Storm, when those Scud 2s were fired, they were like a World War II V-2 rocket, plus or minus a mile, wherever they land, who knows, inertial guidance. Have you seen how the Falcon X boosters land on a barge in the middle of the ocean? Controlling things coming in from space has evolved to a fine point. And any warships, including our aircraft carriers, that are anywhere near China are as obsolete as the battleships, going into World War II. It's just passé. And we haven't learned this yet. Like the Brits in the 1950s, we're still coasting on memories of our past glory and military power. And that day is sunsetting. And America is in for some very rude awakenings in the near future, military, economic, social, and in other areas. And I'm going to continue talking on the other side about the vaccine and what it means in terms of the superhumans transforming the world and just treating us like ants. That's exactly what's going on with COVID and the so-called COVID vaccines. And we're going to explore this more on the other side. You know, a lot of people would like to get my books, but they don't want to participate with Amazon, and I understand that. You can also get my books using PayPal or my PO address. Anyway, we're in a very hard spot now. We are seeing all of our paradigms smashed. Michael Yon, who's I consider really brilliant, he's just an unusual guy. His former Green Beret officer, now he has spent decades traveling to the hellholes of the world to understand revolutions and civil wars. And he's been doing this on a shoestring budget, just putting out his own Michael Yon dispatches. And something he said wrote a couple weeks ago that has really stuck with me is, if you keep being surprised, if your paradigm doesn't explain what you're observing, then your paradigm is wrong and you need to scrap it. And you need to come up with a new paradigm and keep working on it until it fits what you're observing.
Well, this is the end of our program. And we'll put up a click off for Matt Bracken so you go in there and listen to his whole program. But he ended with talking about a paradigm. If you have a paradigm of reality, but reality is not fitting that paradigm, then you better change your paradigm. Better wake up. And they talk about being woke. We're all in a delusional state, but we don't really realize that. So through forgiveness of yourself and others, you'll come out of that delusion. And that's what I think we all need to start doing. Is forgive ourselves and others. Good night. Thank you for listening. Good night.